welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm very excited to be bringing today's guest in because she is sharing things that are very, very timely right now. Laura Cronin is the founder of lifestyle organization Be You, Only Better, as well as the author of the number one new release in homeschooling books, Homeschool Happily, Yes You Can, and the best-selling Too Sweet, The Not-So-Serious Side to Diabetes. Laura believes in living life out loud as a life coach, author, mentor, entrepreneur, type 1 diabetic, and mother of two teenagers. In her spare time, she loves playing tennis, volunteering, baking, writing her blog, and enjoying the great outdoors. So, Laura, welcome to the Mompreneur Model.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here because what you are doing, your homeschooling book, it's so timely right now. But I want you to take us on your journey because you started in New York City in fashion. And so now you're in Atlanta, Georgia. How did you make that move?
Right. Yeah, well, I did. I worked in the glittering world of fashion in New York City. And the funny thing is I was just telling a story to somebody today about how I ended up down in Atlanta. So my initial desire to move came right after 9/11. Unfortunately, a lot of us living in New York City experienced some really bad things while we were there, and I still have PTSD from it till this day. But soon after 9/11 happened, I had my first child, and then soon after that, my second child, and running around the city with them is just not easy to do with two little kids. And we lived in an apartment with zero space, and just really were at a place in our lives that we were looking for a change of pace. And one day we just sort of threw darts at a map, I'm not kidding, to try to figure out as to where to move. But we decided on Atlanta, and basically that was because of the weather, the cost of living, the people are so nice, we're near an international airport, and our careers at the time, still are, can be done really much, really anywhere. So that's how we ended up in Atlanta.
I find it, you know, it's so fun. My kids, when they were little, we lived in New York. Outside of the city and in the suburbs, but would take them into New York City all the time. But I would look at parents that had little kids. It's like, wow, what a challenge.
It's hard.
Raising them
in
Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I was from Long Island originally. And so I used to live in the suburbs as well. So I did have that experience before living in New York City for 15 years before moving down here. So the suburbs is definitely an easier place to raise children for sure.
Truly is. It truly is. And I love that you are a fellow mompreneur, that you've created a number of products. And I have to tell you, I love your belly ups. So let everybody know what those are. And how did you come up with the idea?
Well, just to step back for two seconds, after having children, and I think this happens to many mompreneurs, is that their children inspire them. They create these entrepreneurial desires inside of them because they see things that they think can be improved on, or something that their child would like, or something that would benefit their child. And the first product that I created was called Baby Road Trip. And that was, we used to go on road trips all the time with my children, even when they were infants. And on one of the trips, we came up with this concept for a baby toddler video series that would compete with Baby Einstein. And it was called Baby Road Trip, and it was really fantastic. We created four videos. It was Baby Road Trip Beach, Baby Road Trip Jungle, Circus City, and as it turns out, after developing them, we had a number of companies that were interested in helping to grow that company, so we partnered with one of them that we thought was the best move, and unfortunately, it was the wrong move, and dealt with some pretty awful people leading up to it, but learned a really good life lesson and business lessons in that venture that we did. You can see some of these videos actually on my YouTube channel. A couple of them are still up there. It's super cool homeschool. You should check that out. But after that project sort of got put on the back burner, I had my next epiphany while I was walking down the street, again, pregnant, and my pants kept falling down, and it was very annoying to me. And you can't wear a belt when you're pregnant because, first of all, I don't think they exist, but second of all, it ruins the line of your clothing. A lot of things you're wearing over your belly, and you already have this giant belly there, so to put a belt there, it's like, what's going on? What's going on? So I created this suspender that attached from your bra to your waistband of your pants or your skirt or your shorts or whatever you're wearing, and it was just for my own purposes at first. And when I went to one of my prenatal checkups, the nurse who was checking me out was like, what are these things? And I told her what they were, and she's like, everybody would want these. I said, do you think so? She said, absolutely. She's like, I hear people complaining constantly. They're constantly pulling their pants up over their bellies. I said, So I went to work, and Belly Ups was born. And now it's not just for pregnant people that wear them. It's really for anyone who wants to keep their clothing in place without having to wear a belt.
I think they're fantastic. I really do. And
we
say it all the time on this show that women start with why. And so I love that they came about because you needed something and it wasn't there. And so you decided to do it for yourself. So
that's exactly right.
Share with us a little bit about your company, Be You Only Better.
Okay, so when I was in New York, like I was saying, I worked in fashion, and that's when I started those two companies. And then when I moved down to Atlanta, I didn't have a job at first besides my side jobs that I was doing. And I decided to look into different things to find as a career path, basically. I like to change things up a lot. And one of the things that I was really interested in, it was very new at the time, was life coaching. And I founded my company over 10 years ago with four main focuses to it. The first focus was I coached people with self-esteem and self-confidence issues. There are so many people out there, and it prevents them from getting jobs that they want, from being in relationships that they want. And it was a great arm of my company. The second avenue that I went down is helping people with entrepreneurial dreams like I had, and developing them and learning how to fulfill them. And the third arm was mentoring people with diabetes to help better manage their disease physically and emotionally. And the final arm of my business is I created a coaching institute where I train other people who want to become coaches, and not just teaching them the strategies and techniques that they need, but also the marketing side of things as well, because you could be the sweetest peach in the draw, but if nobody knows about you, or on the counter, I should say, but if nobody knows about you, then what good is it? So over the years, my company has sort of morphed into a lifestyle organization consisting of the coaching side of things, my diabetes side of things, and pharmaceutical consulting. And we're going to talk about the homeschooling, my homeschooling side of things and homeschooling products. And then I have an additional section, which starts off as just my favorite things is called, where I do product recommendations. And I really think that, like you said in the beginning, my company is just this like eclectic mix of things. And I think that's what keeps life interesting. No one is just really one thing, right? We're a combination of things that make up who we are, things that we're an expert in, and then things that we have passions for. So my company is a direct reflection of me.
It certainly is. And you've been a type 1 diabetic for 27 years now. How has that impacted your life?
Well, how hasn't it really? I think it has made me who I am. Absolutely. Diabetes is a constant fight. It really is. You never just get to forget you have it. And every decision that you make is based upon your blood sugar numbers. Like, you can't get in the car and drive without knowing what your blood sugar numbers are. You can't take a shower without knowing what your blood sugar numbers are. There's so many different, you can't eat anything without knowing what your blood sugar numbers are. And sometimes there's not even any rhyme or reason as to what your numbers are. I can wake up at the same exact time every day and be, I don't know if you know anything about blood sugar numbers, but I could be at a perfect number. I could be at like 90, and in an hour later, all of a sudden, I'll be at 300, and I didn't eat a single thing. And the next day, I wake up at 90, and I'll just stay at 90. So there's so many things that go into taking care of yourself with diabetes and dealing with all the lows, the highs, all the drama, the doctors, the insurance nightmares. I think that whole experience of living with this disease for 27 years has given me strength, discipline, grit, perseverance. I don't think I would have had as much as I have otherwise. I was always very strong-willed and strong-minded, but I think that this kind of took me over the edge, because 27 years is a long time to fight a constant battle, and anyone who knows who has diabetes would certainly agree with that. And another thing in having diabetes for that long is that I have participated, volunteered to be in many trials and be a guinea pig for new drugs and technology through the years. I truthfully like to be the first person to try things out to help to better myself and help the diabetic community as a whole by detailing my experiences. And this has led for me to additional consulting work with diabetes companies, speaking engagements, advertising campaigns, and patient ambassador positions within different companies. And I love all of it because the diabetic community, they're like my sweet ones.
I think that's marvelous that you have taken part in trials and things like that. And I mentioned in, as I was introducing you, your book, Too Sweet, The Not-So-Serious Side to Diabetes. I can tell by your personality it has to really be fun. So share a little about it with us, please.
Yes. Well, this book was my first book and very close to my heart. It's a labor of love. It's like it was my third child. Like I was saying before, a second ago, diabetes is, there's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot that is out there. There's a lot of doom and gloom and negativity, and you know, you're going to go blind, you're going to lose a foot, you could find that everywhere. It's very scary. And I wanted to write a book that gave the opposite approach to that. Not to say you shouldn't be taking care of yourself by any means, but you need to laugh at things every once in a while. You need to poke fun at things. If you're living with this constantly, you need to find a light side to it. And like I say, if you're diabetic, you need insulin to keep you alive, but sometimes laughter is the best medicine. And I think that people really appreciate it. And many people that have talked to me after reading my book and who have written reviews about it and different things, they are just so thankful that somebody is there, that they feel like they're talking to a friend, that they feel that they're not being lectured to, and they're not being put in a place that makes them feel bad about themselves. And I'm very proud of that book, really.
What for you has been your biggest challenge?
With diabetes?
With diabetes, yeah.
Well, I'm very athletic, and you want to be able to be competitive with people without having what I call a crutch, right? Without having something that's going to hold you back. You want something that's going to put you on an even playing field. And that was something that was very hard for me to overcome, because although on a athletic level, I might be on the same plane as somebody else, but I still have something that could take me down. In fact, I played tennis this morning and my sugar dropped while I was playing tennis, and I had to take a break. It's either that or I'm going to pass on the court. So I had to take a medical timeout, and I try not to do that at all if possible, but there's times that it's going to be in control of you. And one of my favorite expressions is to control a situation, don't let the situation control you. And I live by that, but diabetes doesn't care what I live by. Sometimes it's going to control me. And I think that being a control sort of, I don't want to say freak, but I kind of am, control like person like that, I think that was the hardest thing for me to take, is that I'm not always in control of this.
Something that we all need to know. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, stadiumbags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Laura Cronin, and I want to switch the conversation now because the other part of your life is as a homeschooler. And I think that through everything going on right now, it's punctuated how important homeschooling is. But I want to talk about your life as a homeschooler. You've been doing it for 4 years. How did you begin?
Well, believe it or not, my children wanted to be homeschooled. I am not, if you had to describe what a homeschool type mom is, I am not that. I think I'm the complete opposite of the stereotype of what people would think of when they think of homeschooling. And I think that's changing right now, by the way, that whole misconception that I was guilty of too, of what homeschooling really is. And I think people are getting a new appreciation for it and seeing the different things that the benefits that can come from homeschooling your children. But I started homeschooling when my oldest son was entering high school and my youngest was entering middle school. And looking back, my only regret now is that I didn't start homeschooling them sooner. But what led me to home educate my children was a combination of many things, and would probably take the rest of the show to talk about them. But the main thing that I felt that I could do by homeschooling my children was to give them the individualized attention and resources needed to nurture the areas that they were most passionate about. And that is what made me pull the trigger to start homeschooling the boys.
You know, as a parent to the other part of my life, I designed a line of clear bags and backpacks. After Columbine, I began the journey, wanting to keep school safe. I've said all along that if I had kids, and my kids, still catches in my throat, my oldest is 32, and my youngest is 28, so I have three. I have a 32, 30, and 28. But believe me, if I had a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, they'd be homeschooled. And people don't realize homeschooling isn't 8 hours of school a day.
No.
They really don't understand that.
It's not at all. And the safety aspect is a really important thing that you just brought up, because before COVID was the number one thing that everybody was talking about every single day, 24/7, we had a lot of issues in the school. A lot of scary things were happening there. And I remember after Sandy Hook happened, different things happened. I was frightened to send my children to school. And not having to worry about that anymore was just a huge added benefit for me, the whole safety aspect of keeping the kids at home. But you were saying about, what did you just ask me about before I went into the safety thing?
Oh, for me, the violence that is going on in our kids' schools nowadays, you know, your first chapter, I knew I was going to love your book when I saw your first chapter was, I've seen a village and I don't want it raising my child. And
right.
And I'm serious. I went right there with you. I really did.
It's understandable, and I think that so many kids, too, are in school. They're in school. I remember what you were talking about, how long it takes to homeschool each day, and I'll get back to that. But so many of the kids are in school now, and they're in school for a long period of time each day, and they are with peers all day long, and then after school they're with peers all day long. And then the family's lucky if they're together for any short period of time, and I think that homeschooling brings family back into the picture, and I think that that is a huge benefit to the world, really, because we need more family. We need more parents involved in their children's lives and seeing what's going on with them on a day-to-day basis and not just sort of letting them just go off and have basically their peers and their teachers be the people who are influencing them the most. And not that there's anything wrong with teachers, but the truth is you're handing your child over to a stranger to influence and to educate. And when you look at it that way, it's concerning to me, at least. But when you spoke about the time of day and how long you need to homeschool your children for, it isn't 8 hours a day. The children, when they go to school, are gone for that long. But the truth is, when you are have an effective plan, and when you know what you're doing, and when you plan everything out, you can get to a, and you're doing it just for your specific child rather than for 30 kids in a class, you can bang some stuff out, and you can get have your child be much more advanced and be doing much more than a child that's in school, because there's nothing that's holding them back. There's not waiting for the teacher to arrive, waiting for the kids to chill out, waiting for the assemblies to be over, the announcements, the lunch, the recess, all of these different things that happen. You can really focus and cut a day in half. And that's another just really impressive thing about homeschooling.
You know, I've been saying all along, as we've been talking about people pivoting their businesses because of COVID, and, you know, I don't consider what went on, and, you know, from March to June, homeschooling, it was COVID schooling. Whereas now, going into the fall, you know, it gave teachers the opportunity to actually be set up with online learning and everything else. But I really feel that there's going to be a good percentage of parents that realize their kids are thriving being home, that they are getting the individual attention that they really need, that they're working on their biorhythms instead of having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get on the bus and everything else. They're able to sleep later. Your kid may work best from noon until 4 p.m. Maybe
right.
Their best time. You might have that early morning kid that wants to bang it out and be done by 10 and then be mm-hmm. able to do other things. I think the biggest thing is that they're going to realize that it isn't all day long, and that it is a manageable thing, because, again, it sounds overwhelming. Oh, my gosh, homeschooling my child, you know. But one of the quotes that I loved in your book, and I wrote it down. Where did I write it down? Oh, my gosh. But it was that as soon as you become a parent, you become a teacher.
Yes, you become a teacher.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I loved that. I loved that. I was like, boy, talk about hitting the nail right on the head, Laura, that as a parent, my oldest son still goofs with me. We'll be walking. He's like, hey, Mom, what's that thing called again? And I'll start telling him and explaining. He'll start to laugh. He's like, you're such a mom. I can't believe you still laugh about that. Of course, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you and explain it. I can't help it. I've been doing
That's
the mom
definitely.
Thing. You know, for more than half my life. And so it is, it's really fun. And your book, Yes, You Can.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Homeschooling Happily. Let's give a whole title.
Yes,
Homeschooling
You Can.
Happily, Yes, You Can. Why did you write it? And share some of the fun highlights, because it really is a fun book.
I started writing it before the pandemic came into play. I was just writing it because I was having such an amazing experience homeschooling my children personally, and they were having amazing results from it. And I said, other people have to get on board with this and see the things that you can do for your children through homeschooling. So, of course, when I feel driven and passionate about something, I think this is coming across to you right now, it comes out of me in different ways, and sometimes that's on paper. And when I had been writing the book, and when the lockdowns began, I said, people are going to be homeschooling their children. This is not going to be over quickly. I need to get this book out. So I locked myself for like a month to finish writing the book, and I wanted to inspire people who might be considering going down the same path. And people have so many questions. Really, you were saying that some of the people are going to be just doing the online learning now, and some people are doing homeschooling. But whether you're doing the online learning through the schools or actually traditionally homeschooling your children, my book provides the confidence, the resources, and the guidance that you need in order to do both successfully. And it's not as scary as it sounds. I think that a lot of people are sort of taken back with the idea of having to homeschool their children, first from their own perspective of, I don't know how to do calculus, or I can't teach my child biology, or whatever it is. But you don't have to be able to teach your children everything. There are so many resources out there. There are so many incredible companies and information that you can access that provides you with that backup. And I think that when you take that information and find out what your child loves and build on that, the benefits are really unparalleled to what that they would be learning in school. And of course, the book isn't all serious, just like my diabetes book. It has a lot of humor in it, too, because I think laughing makes things a lot easier, and people feel a lot more comfortable when they're going, okay, well, this woman obviously gets me with what she's saying. Like, I talk about patience. I don't have patience. I have zero patience. That's not something that just comes to somebody. That's something that is developed over time. And if you think about it, when you're talking about like giving examples from the book, I think that people, when they think about having the patience to homeschool, they don't think that they're able to do it. And I say to that, first of all, you deal with things on a daily basis that have to do with patience, right? You deal with traffic, you deal with difficult people, deal with family drama, deal with things going wrong, your Wi-Fi going down. There's so many things that test your patience every day. And then if you go back to thinking about being a parent and how your patience was tested a million times throughout your life let's start off when your child was born. You didn't sleep for 3 months. That tests somebody's patience, right? Potty training, definitely a patience tester. Kid cutting their own hair before picture day? Yeah, my son did that. He scalped himself in one little place. What about going on a road trip and they throw up in the car? There's a million ways that your patience is tested every day. But the truth is, if you have the patience to parent, you have the patience to homeschool. If you have the patience to live through your daily life, you have the patience to homeschool. You just have to learn how to do it. And nobody starts off as an expert at anything. You just have to learn. And with my book, with a ton of other resources out there, it's easy. It's actually turnkey once you get going. I say that there's usually 3 weeks of time that you're going to be a little bit that you're going to maybe regret your decision. And if you stick it past that hump and say, I don't care, I'm going to do it. Like, I cried the first 3 weeks that I homeschooled. I did cry. I said, this is too much. I don't know what I'm doing. But then all of a sudden it clicks, and it's smooth sailing from then on. It's like, I can't wait for the school year to start all the time. So a very long-winded answer to your question.
No, it wasn't long-winded, and it's an awesome answer. And as we're wrapping up, what is your best piece of advice you want to leave our listeners with? And then be sure to let them know how to find you online.
Okay, my best piece of advice. I think that every moment of the day can be a learning moment, and that's what I love the most about homeschooling and just being with my kids in general. There's so many endless things to be inspired by. There's so many paths to explore, and everything you really want to learn about is only a click away. And as long as your child is learning about the world that we live in, they're growing, and you're growing too. You are learning things alongside of them. And lastly, if you choose to homeschool, remember that life is never going to introduce you to something that you're not going to be able to figure out. You can absolutely do this. You can find me at my website, which is BU Only Better, and you spell all those words out, BEYOUONLYBETTER.com. I think I said too many T's, but you know the word better.com. And I'm also on Instagram at BU Only Better, Facebook at BU Only Better, Twitter at BU Only Better, and Pinterest at BU Only Better. So basically, BU Only Better.
Love the consistent branding, and I'm so glad that you have shared with us on the show, because again, I think there's going to be a big percentage of parents that have realized that their children are thriving with the individual attention that they get, their biorhythms, they're working on their natural body clocks, and it really isn't as hard as you think it is. And I love, like Frank Sinatra, you did it your way, you know, and because that is the joy of homeschooling, that you can learn, but you know what? You as the parent, you get to do it your way as well. And, you know, we didn't even touch on the fact that, you know, all of the myths that it breaks that, oh, then they're socially awkward and this and that and
everything else.
It's not true. It's so not
That's
true.
One of my favorite videos, the socialization video on my YouTube channel, the Super Cool Homeschool channel. I did a funny video on socialization, and it's true. That's a myth. That's the number one myth about homeschooling, and it's also the number one thing that people say to you. Well, what about socialization? No. not a problem.
I absolutely agree with you. And Laura, I thank you so much for taking the time today to share with us. And for all of you
tuning
into Word of Mom Radio, thank you for being with us. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. And so until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is-